Ever find yourself saying, yeah, let's do that, when you really wanted to do something else?
Happens all the time.
Today, we're diving deep into harmonizing that conflict style, where keeping the peace often means putting your preferences second.
It's the agreeing on dinner style, but it goes way deeper than just picking a restaurant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to unpack when it's a superpower for relationships and when it can leave you feeling like a doormat.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, there's a fine line between being agreeable and getting steamrolled.
Finding that balance is key, and that's where understanding the nuances of harmonizing comes in.
Okay.
At its core, harmonizing is about prioritizing the relationship over individual preferences on a specific issue.
So it's like strategically choosing your battles.
Exactly. Think of it like a long-term investment. Sometimes you put your needs on hold for the sake of the bigger picture, the long-term health and happiness of the relationship. And just like any investment, there are times when it yields the highest returns.
I'm all ears. When is harmonizing the ultimate power move?
Imagine you're making a low-stakes decision like what to have for dinner.
Sure.
In these cases, flexing that harmonizing muscle can be a real win. Or let's say the issue at hand means significantly more to the other person than it does to you.
Okay.
Harmonizing allows you to show them you understand and respect their needs, which can strengthen the bond.
This is making me think about those times I dug in my heels over something trivial, and it created unnecessary tension. Perhaps a little harmonizing could have saved the day, and maybe even a friendship or two. But how do you actually do harmonizing in a way that feels genuine, not like you're just giving in?
That's where those little verbal cues, those transition phrases, can make all the difference. For instance, in simple situations, saying something like, "Sounds good to me," or "Whatever you prefer works for me," can convey your willingness to go with the flow without much fuss.
It's like you're handing them the decision-making reins, but in a way that doesn't feel like you're completely checked out.
Precisely. But here's the catch, and it's a crucial one. You have to mean it. True harmonizing comes from a place of understanding and valuing the relationship.
Yeah.
If you're just saying the words without that genuine sentiment, it's going to ring hollow.
So authenticity is key. You can't just phone it in.
Exactly. And as situations become more complex, those transition phrases become even more critical.
Okay.
Let's say you're mid-discussion and you realize, wow, this person is really invested in this. That's when phrases like, "Now that we've discussed this, I realize there are some important things at stake here for you," can gracefully shift the dynamic.
I love that because it acknowledges their perspective and your willingness to prioritize the relationship. But what about situations where their needs might seem a tad dramatic?
Yeah.
Like when a minor financial difference is a few hours' work for one person, but days for another.
That's a fantastic point. It highlights the importance of active listening and empathy. What seems insignificant to us can be a big deal to someone else. That's where stepping into their shoes, really trying to see the situation from their point of view, becomes crucial.
I see what you mean. It's about understanding the why behind their needs and feelings. But how do you navigate that without feeling like you're constantly giving in?
It's a delicate dance. You can acknowledge their perspective and still hold your own. You could say, "Thanks for helping me understand where you're coming from. In light of that, let's go with your proposal." It shows you're listening and willing to compromise without completely abandoning your own needs.
This is making me realize how much harmonizing is about communication and understanding those subtle nuances. But before we get too carried away with its upsides, let's address the potential downsides.
Right.
Because as with any style, too much harmonizing can backfire.
Absolutely. While it can be a powerful tool for building and maintaining relationships, overusing it can be detrimental. It's like that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. Constantly putting your own needs on the back burner can lead to resentment and burnout.
And that's when those seemingly small acts of self-sacrifice can morph into bigger issues within the relationship. Our source material mentions narcissistic personality disorder as an example. Could you unpack that a bit more?
Sure.
Why is over-harmonizing especially risky in these situations?
You've hit a crucial point. In relationships with a narcissist, that imbalance of give and take becomes really pronounced.
Right.
A narcissist thrives on admiration and control, and someone who's constantly harmonizing, constantly putting their needs aside, can become easy to exploit.
It's like you're unintentionally feeding into a dynamic that's ultimately unsustainable and damaging to your own well-being.
Precisely. This is why recognizing the signs of over-harmonizing is so important. It's not about labeling someone as a narcissist, but rather understanding the potential consequences of chronic self-sacrifice in any relationship.
So how can someone tell if they're over-harmonizing? What are some red flags to watch out for?
One of the biggest signs is that feeling of resentment or burnout we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
If you're constantly feeling depleted, like you're giving more than you're receiving, that's a sign something's off.
It's like that feeling of being emotionally hungover after spending time with someone.
Exactly. Another sign is neglecting your own needs. Are you consistently putting your wants and desires on hold to please others? Are you afraid to speak up or voice your opinion even when it matters to you?
It can become a vicious cycle, can't it? The more you silence your own needs, the harder it becomes to assert them in the future.
Absolutely. And over time, that pattern of overaccommodating can chip away at your self-esteem and sense of identity.
Yeah.
You start to lose sight of who you are and what you truly value.
This is all starting to feel a bit heavy. What can someone do if they're stuck in this cycle of overaccommodation? Recognizing it is one thing, but breaking free seems way more challenging.
You're right. It's not easy, but it is possible. Our source material emphasizes the importance of seeking support, and I can't stress that enough. Talking to a trusted friend, family member, therapist, or counselor can provide a fresh perspective and invaluable guidance.
It's like having that objective sounding board to help you process those feelings of resentment, burnout, and maybe even help you rediscover those parts of yourself you've been neglecting.
Precisely. And sometimes that external perspective can help you see the situation with more clarity and develop a plan for setting healthy boundaries.
Because let's face it, it's hard to set boundaries when you're so used to putting everyone else's needs first.
Absolutely. And that's where a therapist or counselor can be incredibly helpful. They can provide you with the tools and strategies to communicate your needs more assertively, navigate those tricky conversations, and ultimately break free from that pattern of overaccommodating.
This has been incredibly insightful, but I don't want us to lose sight of the positive aspects of harmonizing. It's not all doom and gloom, right? Flipping the script for a moment, what are some signs that someone is using harmonizing in a healthy, supportive way?
That's such an important point. When done well, harmonizing can be a beautiful expression of love, respect, and care. One of the key differentiators is reciprocity. It's not just one person constantly giving in. It's about both parties being willing to compromise and prioritize the relationship.
So it's about creating that balanced ecosystem where both people feel heard, valued, and respected, even when disagreements arise.
Exactly. Another sign of healthy harmonizing is that it's not done out of fear or obligation. It's a conscious choice made from a place of love and a desire to nurture the connection. And what's truly remarkable is that this type of harmonizing has a ripple effect. When we experience that generosity and willingness to compromise from someone else, it often inspires us to do the same in return.
It's like this upward spiral of positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
You see them prioritizing the relationship, and it motivates you to do the same, which ultimately strengthens the bond even further.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of finding that sweet spot with harmonizing. It's not about becoming a doormat or silencing your own needs. It's about choosing connection over conflict and approaching disagreements with a spirit of understanding and compromise.
So how do we circle back to those practical tips and techniques? Because I know our listeners are eager to apply this wisdom in their own lives. Those transition phrases we talked about earlier, like sounds good to me, or in light of that, let's go with your proposal, are like magic spells for navigating tricky conversations.
They really are. But remember, true harmonizing isn't just about saying the right words. It's about embodying the spirit of understanding and compromise.
It's like that saying, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Active listening is key, right?
Absolutely. One of our sources suggested actually writing down what you think the other person's needs and challenges might be. It sounds simplistic, but that act of trying to step into their shoes to see the situation through their eyes can be incredibly powerful.
That's such a great visualization technique. I'm definitely going to try that. It's like creating a mental map of their emotional landscape.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes injecting a little humor into the situation can work wonders.
Oh, yeah.
Our sources emphasize the importance of not taking things too seriously, especially those everyday disagreements that have a way of popping up.
Oh, absolutely. A well-timed joke or lighthearted comment can instantly diffuse tension and remind everyone that we're on the same team.
Precisely. It's about finding that balance between being considerate of others' needs and not taking ourselves too seriously. Because at the end of the day, harmonizing is about choosing connection over conflict. It's about recognizing that the relationship itself is more valuable than winning every single argument or getting our way all the time.
So well said. As we wrap up this deep dive into the art of harmonizing, I'm struck by the importance of balance. It's about finding that sweet spot between honoring our own needs and nurturing our relationships.
Absolutely. And remember, harmonizing is a tool, not a magic solution.
Right.
It's about being mindful, compassionate, and proactive in how we approach conflict.
Beautifully put. Conflict is a natural part of any relationship, and it's often in those moments of disagreement that we have the most significant opportunities for growth and connection.
I completely agree. Embracing those moments, navigating them with grace and understanding can lead to deeper, more fulfilling relationships.
So as you navigate your own conflicts, ask yourself, how can I incorporate harmonizing authentically into my toolkit, ensuring a balance between my needs and nurturing my relationships? It's a question worth pondering. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the art of harmonizing. We encourage you to explore the Style Matters resources for more insights into the fascinating world of conflict styles. Until next time.